If it's Hashem, I'll send you my phone number if, in case you don't have it.
I think I have it.
Okay.
You'll be giving it next week from the same spot, right?
Probably, yeah. I assume so. So for Parshas Vayigash, we're going to read quite a few psukim and try to interpret them. And the bulk of these psukim are in Perek Mem Hey of Sefer Bereishis. Some are in Perek Mem Vav. And the focal point of our discussion is giving chizuk to Yaakov Avinu. What do I mean by chizuk to Yaakov Avinu? Yosef has been taken away from Yaakov. They're separated for 22 years. And now, after Yosef reveals his identity to his brothers in that very emotional and dramatic encounter, the brothers send back a message to Yaakov. Now, this message that they bring from Yosef to Yaakov is called, in the language of the Torah, of Torah Shebichtav, Ha'agolos Asher Sholach Yosef. So let's read the psukim about Ha'agolos Asher Sholach Yosef. And as I indicated, these psukim are in Perek Mem Hey, and they begin in Pasuk Chaf Hey. So this is immediately after the reconciliation between Yosef and his brothers. Vayalu mimitzrayim, vayavo eretz Knan el Yaakov avihem. So now the brothers are sent on their way by Yosef back to their father Yaakov in eretz Knan. Vayagidu lo lemor od Yosef chai, v'chi hu moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. You can imagine how emotional Yaakov would be when he hears that not only is Yosef Chai, but moreover that he rules over the entire Mitzrayim. This concept of Od Yosef Chai has been interpreted in many different ways by the Darshanim of the generations. Just to mention one of those Darshanim, my father, Zechar Levrach, used to always say that Od Yosef Chai means that the spirit of Yosef is still very much alive. Vayofeg libo ki lohem in lohem. Yaakov is overwhelmed by emotion, and initially he's resistant. It's very hard for him to believe this news. Vaydabru elav es kol divrei Yosef asher diber alehem. So at the first stage, the brothers are trying to convince Yaakov of the truth, the veracity of their story, and they point out that these are the following things that Yosef said to them. You know, when you get a detailed description, a transmission of what was said, you begin to believe it. But then the agolos come to the fore, and it says, "Vayar es agolos asher sholach Yosef loseis oso." Vatechi ruach Yaakov Avir. Something is going on with these agolos. We're going to mention Rashi's pshat in just a minute, but before we get to Rashi, let's just give a little bit of the background here as to why Rashi and others are so compelled to come up with an explanation for the deeper meaning of the agolos. The agolos are the wagons that are described here that will carry and bring Yaakov Avinu back down to Mitzrayim, or down to Mitzrayim, I should say, because for Yaakov it's the first time. And immediately after Yaakov sees the agolos, it's Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avia. You know, we just had Vayofeg Libo. Yaakov is a little bit confused. He's in a state of almost emotional despair. He doesn't know what to believe anymore. And now it becomes Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avim, a whole different, you know, re-energized personality. And all that we get in the middle really is that Vayaras HaGolos, he sees the wagons. You know that the concept of HaGolos, of wagons, has many, many different meanings. In modern Hebrew, here in the state of Israel, we talk about agalot, and what we mean are baby carriages. And it's amazing to see what's going on here in Israel, because to get a really good baby carriage, you know, they buy these Italian carriages that are imported. They cost like a belt of money. You can imagine in Shkolim. I mean, that. So I'm trying to do damage control. We just bought two of them for two of our granddaughters. And this is a message to Bobby, because we're working on Shaduchim. So at least you should know, Bobby, we're raising these girls with the best agalot in town, you know, that you can get from Italy. And these are the agalot. Now Rashi plays on the word agala, because the word agala, which means a wagon, if you change the vocalization, the vowels, you end up with egla. And egla, of course, is of a calf. So Rashi sees in this whole episode an allusion to the parsha of Egla Rufa. Now, of course, as you know, Egla Rufa is a parsha that has two parts to it. The first part of the parsha is to describe the reality in which a slain body is found between two cities, and we have to determine where the murderer came from. And in the second part of the parasha, there's a whole ritual called Arifas HaEgla, and at the forefront of this ritual, the engineers, the architects, are the Zekanim, who have to make a declaration that Yadenu Lo Shofchas Adam Hazeh, that we, the elders, were not responsible for the loss of life for this murder. Now, the Gemara and Sota ask the obvious question: what was the Havamina here? Why would we even think of accusing the elders of this murder? And the Gemara says that the deeper meaning of their declaration is Shelo Higia Liyadenu VeShalachto Sobeli Mazon. And what this means is that the elders of the city are responsible for providing the needs for anyone who comes into the city within that context. So that if this person was penniless, or he came into the city after a long trip and he didn't have money to buy food, if the Zekanim did not live up to their responsibility on a moral level to provide him with food, then he went out and he tried to steal food because he had no choice in the matter. And this led to a situation where he probably threatened the lives of those who he attacked, and they in turn put him to death. And a basic theme that underlies the parasha of Egla Rufa is what we call moral responsibility, especially on the part of the leaders. And this was the last sugya, Rashi says, that Yaakov Avinu studied with his son Yosef, because he was the Ben Zkunim. Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu transmitted all of his Torah to Yosef, and the very last sugya they were learning it was about moral responsibility. And perhaps Yosef understood that on a deeper level, Yaakov was telling him that in the relationship that he had with his brothers, there was a certain element of moral responsibility. And maybe it would go in two directions. Number one, Yosef should be responsible for his brothers, and therefore he should go out and find them. And on the other hand, maybe it's a message to the brothers that they are equally responsible, morally responsible, for the well-being of their younger brother Yosef. And when Yosef takes this message to heart, and he holds on to it for two decades and more, such that he can send back to Yaakov Avinu a cryptic message that this was the last sugya that we were studying together, because he hasn't forgotten it, and he hasn't forgotten the deeper meaning that lies below this sugya of Egla Rufa. Vatachi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. Yaakov is so impressed, he's so overwhelmed emotionally by the fact that his son Yosef is still his disciple, and even after all this time, Yosef is still learning the very last sugya that they studied together. Imagine a Rebbe that parts from his disciple, from his Talmud. They see each other two decades later, and the Talmud says, "And I wanted to ask you about that last point you made 22 years ago." You know, that indicates an ongoing relationship in which Yaakov Avinu has a tremendous impact on Yosef, and Yosef is still very much attached to his father, especially when it comes to moral and ethical principles that his father taught him. But today we want to study a different approach, alternative to Rashi, Shivim Panim LaTorah, and that's the approach of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev. And in a certain sense, his pshat is a little bit closer, at least to the meaning of the word agala, because agala is a wagon. It's not a calf, and certainly not in Pshuto Shel Mikra. But before we get to his insight, which is a major breakthrough, we want to discuss what seems to be apparently a contradiction in the parsha itself with regarding to these agolos, because the pasuk itself that we just read indicates that these were the agolos asher shalach Yosef. They were sent by Yosef. But all you have to do now is fast forward to the next perek in Parshas Vayigash, that's Perek Memvav. And if you open up to Pasuk Hey in Perek Memvav, and this is describing Yaakov Avinu on his way back, again, when I say on his way back, from the brother's perspective, from his perspective, it's for the first time, he's not going back, but he's going now to Mitzrayim. And it says, Vayokom Yaakov Miber Sheva, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu Ves Tapov Ves Neshem, Ba'agolos Eshen Sholach Paro. So two out of the three of these words are identical to the two words that we saw before, and that is Asher Sholach. But in the first case, meaning in Perikov Hei, Asher Sholach Yosef. And now it says, about these same Agolos, Asher Sholach Paro. And we know that it's the same reference to Agolos, because we're talking about, even in the earlier case, the Agolos that was sent by Yosef to bring Yaakov down to Mitzrayim. And now the very same Agolos that are bringing Yaakov down to Mitzrayim was sent by Paro. And the Zohar, none other than the Zohar, is aware of this contradiction. And the Zohar comes up with a very Kabbalistic notion that everything that has its side kedusha to it has its opposite, what's called the kochos hatumo or sitra achra, to balance the good against the evil, which is called zelu umazeh. And according to the Zohar, this concept of agalos has on the one end of mitzad kedusha, that's the agalos of Yosef, that's Shosholach Yosef, and then it is agalos mitzad hatumo, and that's Shosholach Paro. So there are two categories of agolos, of wagons. And we'd like to understand, what are these two categories? And the interface between them, because they both play the same role, ostensibly, of bringing Yaakov down to Mitzrayim. Now, as I told you at the outset, we're going to be reading a lot of psukim in the parsha. If we go on to read some of the psukim in Perek Mem Vav, and we find Divrei Chizuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to give Yaakov Avinu words of encouragement in the divine prophecy, when Hashem reveals Himself in this prophetic dream to Yaakov, Vayomer Anochi Akel Elokei Avicha Al Tira Merdo Mitzrayimah. Yaakov Avinu is overwhelmed by a sense of fear in going down to Mitzrayim. He realizes that Mitzrayim is Ervas Haaretz. He realizes that what's about to happen is a fulfillment of the promise, the divine promise to Avram Avinu at the Bris Bein Abasarim, where Avram Avinu is told that it's going to be Inui, it's going to be Golus, it's going to be a long period of time in Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al Tira Merido Mitzrayim. Like, don't be afraid of what's going to happen to you and your children. In Mitzrayim, ki l'goy gadol asimcha sham, and I'd like you to emphasize the word sham, because sham means two things. Sham means the name of a place, or a pronoun referring to a place, in this case Mitzrayim, but sham also means a gorem, meaning a cause, that something happens sham, whenever the Torah or the Tanakh describes something that happens sham, what it means is that something there is going to happen that's going to cause a whole sister, a whole set of repercussions. For example, if you read the Haggadah Shel Pesach, it says, Vayihi sham l'goy gadol. Do you remember that? Melanei shahayu mitzuyonim sham. that somehow the experience of exile for the Jewish people in Mitzrayim is l'goy gadol asimcha sham. We become a goy gadol sham. And sham means in Mitzrayim. The paradox of Golus Mitzrayim is that all that suffering is meant to be a kur habarzel, as Rashi calls it, is a klisha mezakikim bo es hakesev, that there are impurities in natural metals, especially metals of precious metals, and they are removed by a heating process as put in the kur habarzel. That sham is that whole process of purifying the Jewish people and uplifting them to make them into a goy gadol is going to happen in the exile of Mitzrayim. And Yaakov Avinu is being uplifted by the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't be afraid of Mitzrayim. We know it's terrifying. We know it's horrible. But yet, L'goy Gadol, paradoxically, Asimcha Sham. And this concept of a Kura Barzel has to be placed in perspective with the Psukim in Vaschanon that describe what is a Goy Gadol. What makes us a Goy Gadol? And the answer is twofold. If you open up the Psukim in Vaschanon, it says, Mi Goy Gadol asher lo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim. This is the moral fiber of the Jewish people. The fact that the Torah repeats itself endlessly. Remember that you were avodim in Mitzrayim. It means that this experience of avodus of slavery in Mitzrayim is going to mold the Jewish people as a people of goy gadol asher lo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim. This is the ethics. This is the ethical fiber of the Jewish people. My Rebbe Rav Salvechik used to talk about this all the time. And by the way, when Menachem Begin sent in bombers in Lebanon, and as a result, many Palestinians were killed in Lebanon, Rav Salvechik was very upset about it, because he felt that the essence of the Jewish people is the moral, ethical, goy gadol asher lo chukim mishpatim tzadikim. And that's why the Jewish people today in Israel have so much problems on a moral level. We don't know how to deal with the issues. We realize that we're dealing with murderers, we're dealing with those who want to see us in the bottom of the sea, but we can't just massively murder them. So what do we do? You know, we're a goy gadol. And this is the problem that we're facing here. We have the left and we have the right, and I'm not going to go into politics. You all know my politics here. I'm more on the right than on the left by far. But that's what it's all about. And moreover, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, Anochi Eireidim Chomitzraimah. Don't think that you're going alone down to Mitzrayim. There's a principle called Imo Anochi Mitzara. Hashem goes together with the Jewish people into Golus. And not only that, Anochi Ela Gam Ela Allah. I will also bring the people out of Mitzrayim, as Hashem promised to Avram Avinu. Be'achar Kach Yetzu. And finally, the most cryptic part of this Divrei Nechama, this Divrei Chizuk, is at the end. V'Yosef Yoshis Yodo Aleinecha. And Yosef will, so to speak, extend his hands over your eyes. And the Mepharshim try to understand what that is all about. So let's just summarize three questions here. Question number one, why is it that Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Aviv is a result of the Agolos Eshel Shalach Yosef? What's in the Agolos? Question number two, the stira between Asher Shalach Yosef and Asher Shalach Paro, and the Zohar is very cryptic, Kabbalistic answer that there are two kinds of Agolos, one mitzad Kedusha, one mitzad Sitra Akra. And finally, the question of the Yosef Yashis Yado Aleinecha, what's that all about? So we begin with the Kedusha Salevi of Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev with a major breakthrough. What is the symbolism and therefore the significance of the Agolos? Says Rav Levi Yitzchak, we know, this is obvious in the reality of an Agola of a wagon, that a wagon is travels from one place to the other because of the wheels. So the Agolos, and the root of the word Agolo, is Agol, meaning the roundness of the wheels. The symbolism of the Agolos, according to Rav Levi Yitzchak, is the roundness of the wheels. What's so significant about the roundness of the wheels? And the answer is that Yosef is sending a message to Yaakov Avinu, also as Divrei Nechama, to uplift the spirit of Yaakov Avinu, Atchi Ruach Yaakov, about the nature of Golos. That it's true, these are Golos are going to bring you down to the exile in Egypt. But you should know that the very same Golos that are going to drive you down, roll you down into Golos, are the same power or energy force that's going to project you to the Geula, to the redemption. Ki hara hi hasibo letova. You know, I was thinking, Rabosa, you know, we just finished Hanukkah, and one of the things that we said in Al Anisim over and over again was Al HaMilchamos. Now, war is not pleasant, as you know. And certainly the wars against the Yevonim were not a pleasant experience. Why are we thanking Hashem for the Milchamos? But the Chiddush is that even the Milchamos are part of a process. So we don't understand why, but it's part of the Tzara, the Golos experience that's going to bring us to Tova. So that when we thank Hashem not just for the ultimate redemption, but even for all the causes, as much as we suffered through them, that brought us to the redemption. In other words, we're talking about a divine plan. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we discussed the machlokes of a very fundamental nature, whether someone could murder someone who's totally innocent. Do you remember that? And although the Arachayim HaKadosh and others say that maybe it's possible to kill someone who's totally innocent, and there's no will on the part of God that this person should die, and that's because we're guaranteed freedom of choice, but there's a whole school of Rishonim, the Marsha, and others who say no. If you kill someone, it must be because it's part of a plan. And in the plan, which is revealed by Yeshayo and Novi, this is one of the most famous psukim in Tanakh. Let's read it again. Everything that was created for the purpose of Kvod Shamayim. And the Mishnah, based on this pasuk in Yeshaya, in the last parak of Amos, says, Kol Vashem Barak HaKadosh Baruch Bo Lomo Lo Bro El Lichvodo. So everything that happens in this universe, according to this particular Ashkafa, is all part of a divine plan that ultimately leads to Kvod Shamayim. So we live in an experience of Golus, we see exile, we see anti-Semitism, we see pogroms and Holocausts, and somehow we're meant to believe that this is all part of a divine plan. That the Golus roll, the wheels roll from place to place, but all of this is being engineered by the so to speak, the what we call the balagola, meaning the wagon driver who's holding on to the reins. He is kaviyocha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's bringing this agola from place to place. Everything is part of his plan. He's pulling the strings. We are all like puppets in that sense. And this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manig his olam. There's what's called the Galgalia Teva. There are the wheels of nature. And we think that the wheels of nature are moving in some sort of haphazard direction, and it's not part of an intellectual, deliberate plan. But the answer is no. The wheels are part of a plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is driving that agola, and he is taking it from place to place. If now this Hagolah is leading you, Yaakov Avinu, down to Mitzrayim, that Golus is part of a Sibo L'Geula. It's part of a process of ultimate redemption. So the Hagolah, the wagon, just like it cannot travel and move from one location to another without a manik, without someone controlling it and driving it, and the person who's driving it has the purpose of making sure that the Agola gets to its ultimate goal, its destination, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mani Gabira, he's the one who's driving the entire universe towards his purpose of Lechvodi Barasiv Yitzartiv Afasisiv. And this is really the revelation of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu lives in a world of idolatry, and yet he asks questions. He sees that there's a galgal that's misovev. There's Siba and misovev. And the Medrash says that it was Avram Avinu who discovered the manik shel ha'olam, Lefishay Avram Avinu Omer Tomar Ha'olam Hazeh B'li Manig. You know, he sees one result after the other, one effect after the other. There must be a cause. Cause, effect. But what's the ultimate cause? What's the prime mover? That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears and he identifies himself. Aniu Bala Bira. I'm the one who's controlling the world. And this is something which the Rambam codifies in Hilchas Yisodei HaTorah as one of the fundamental beliefs of the Torah. You and I might think, okay, very nice. You know, for tzaddikim, who are very pious, they'll believe that the whole universe is being controlled by God. But I don't have to believe that. Says the Rambam, no. Yisod HaYisodos, on the top left. Vishoresh HaVoda. V'amud HaChachmos. Leida Sheyesha Motsu Rishon. There's some reality that is the prime mover, who Mamsi called himself, he created everything that exists. Anything that exists from Shamayim to Aretz or in between cannot exist without the truth of the existence of this Yesoda Yesodus, the Yudke Vavke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hamatsu Yazeh, the only thing that really exists, the true reality, is Elokei HaOlam Adon Kol HaAretz. Hu amanigas hagalgal. Please emphasize the word galgal, because that's what the agol is all about. It's about the galgal. Bekoach she'ein lo keitz v'tachlis. You know, sometimes the driver of the wagon, he runs out of energy. He sort of comes to a halt. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's endless. There's infinite energy. It's koach she'ein bo hefzik, says the Rambam. V'agalgal sovev tamid. And this agola, which represents the entire process of cause and effect in the universe throughout the history of man, is the galgal that's tamid, efshar below mesovev, and it cannot go on its own. There's no such thing as an agola that propels itself, and its locomotion is self locomoting, but rather this HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Adon Kol Haaretz and the Elokei Olam, he is one who's besoveh the galgal. And the Rambam ends with the words, Yediyas Tov Razeh Mitzaseh Shenemar Anochi Hashem Elokech. This is the most fundamental belief that we have. You know, Chafetz Chaim in his introduction to Aruch Chaim says that there are mitzvahs that we can fulfill constantly at any point, at any time. And amongst those mitzvahs is this mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, to believe that God is the creator and he is the manhig, and everything that happens is leading towards his goal. And therefore, says Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Radichev, the agolos that Yosef sends to Yaakov are meant to tell him that yes, we're going into golos, but the golos itself is the sivas hagu'ula. It's going to propel us towards redemption. This, my friends, is a very, very, not only central and fundamental belief, but it's very powerful. It has a tremendous impact on our emotions. You know, we go through so many difficult periods in our life, but there is a nechama, there's a consolation to strengthen us, v'tachi ruach Yaakov aviyem, because you realize that this is part of a divine plan. So if you're disappointed in life, with anything, with whether it's health, whether it's family, whether it's money, whether it's jobs, any sort of list of disappointments, then you have to see it within this perspective in order to achieve consolation and nechama, to be uplifted, v'tachi ruach. You have to know that this is part of a divine plan. And if that's true on an individual level, how much more so is it true on the level of Klal Yisrael? If Yaakov Avinu is bringing down base Yaakov, base Yisrael, to Mitzrayim to begin the Golos, he has to know that the Golos is an Agola. It's a wheel that's turning and bringing us towards our ultimate goal, our ultimate destination, and that is Geula. Imagine the case of a ship that's stranded out at sea. And if God wants to save the people on the ship, He brings waves that will push the ship towards the shore. And everything in life, on a national level, communal-wise, is bringing us towards the shore. And we know we can never claim that we really fully understand why it's so. You know, as I said at the outset, the experience of Golos Mitzrayim is defined by Rashi as a Kura Barzel. Why do we need the Kura Barzel? And I think I've discussed in the past, please remind me, yes or no, the concept of Nama Dechisufa. Do you remember this? No? Yes? Maybe? Nama Dechisufa, the bread of humiliation. It's a very fundamental concept in Chassidus. That somehow we have to go through suffering to earn our way towards reward. And it's not just, you know, God could have skipped this whole world and just put us straight into Olam Haba. I mean, what do we need this Olam Hazeh for? With all its amelus and all its sorrows. But somehow this the true Midas HaRachamim is Midas HaRachamim that comes through Midas HaDin. And that integration will lead to the greatest Chesed and Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch. So on our level, we may think, well, why do we need this all? Why doesn't God, who's the good God, just simply bring us right to the shore? Why do we have to be stranded out at sea? Why do we have to undergo all these sorrows? And on a national level, why do we have to go through golos for such a long, bitter period of time? But it's all part of a plan. And when we thank Hashem at the end, at the time of the geula, we thank Him even for the golos. So the Oz Yashir of our Shira includes within it a thanks for the golos. Very strange. That's the paradox. But the Rambam codifies this in the beginning of Yesod HaTorah. Now let's move on to a very interesting discussion about the Avos. Now this is based on Rav Shapiro, who lived 5 centuries ago. He's the Magala Amukos, and he does reveal deeper concepts. And he's talking about what's called the Merkava Mitzad HaKedusha, as opposed to the opposite, which is Mitzad HaTumah. He writes that V'yodua k'shiyovo Mashiach oz yeh Merkava Shlema. What is Merkava Shlema? So he says, again, I wish I had the time and a computer to work this out. He says it's the exact equivalent of Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and David. So this is the time of Mashiach when we're going to see the revelation of a Merkava Shlema. In Golus, we exist in a state of Tumah, and that's called Merkava de Tumah. And he goes on to explain this with a concept called Kelev Ra. These are all different Kabbalistic notions, Baal Tzfon, and these are all negative, corrupting forces that lead us to the state of confusion. But ultimately, at the time of the Geula, when Mashiach will come, we will perceive the Merkava Shlema, the Merkava de Kedusha. The Avos, together with David HaMelech, dedicated their entire lives simply to publicize the belief in one God, who's the Megalgel, who is the cause of the entire system, which is a Merkava de Kedusha. And that will become clear to us only when Mashiach comes. But on the negative side, Zelu Mazeh, just like there's a Merkava de Kedusha, there's also the Merkava de Tumah. And here we move on to the second page. He says the Merkava de Kedusha, the Tumah, is a hakhasha, tries to undermine the entire process of revealing God's hanhug in the world. And who is the paradigm, if you will, the avavos, the aviavos of Merkava de Tumah? It's Paro. Vayomer Paro, mi Hashem yish eshma bekolo. You're telling me that there's a Merkava here, a Merkava de Kedusha? You're telling me that God is bringing the Jewish people towards the Geula, and everything in this Galgal is a step-by-step process? I'm going to deny it. I don't recognize the God that you speak about. And therefore, Paro represents the anti-force, antithetical to Merkava de Shlema, and he's Merkava de Tumah. And if you take a look at the Sfas Emes for Chanukah, he says that Kisham the Malchus Yovan Arshalach Lashkicham Torah Secha, they were totally dedicated to the study of science. Everything is a matter of cause and effect, and they want to make us forget our Torah, which means they want to make us forget our fundamental belief in Ashkochas Habore, that everything that happens is part of a divine scheme and a plan. Instead of which, they want to talk about the Galgal of Teva, the Galgal of Mazolos, the Zodiac. Everything depends upon the Zodiac. and everything is controlled and there's no room for divine intervention, that's called lakhisham torasecha le hashkicham torasecha. And therefore, in that period of time, Yavan represents the Merkava de Tuma. And that's what we have to undermine. Now it's fascinating that the first of the Aseres HaDibros Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you take the word Elokecha, and it has the same value Gematria as Galgal. So Elokecha means God who's controlling what we think is nature, and cause and effect that's happening automatically in nature, is really the Galgal. Meaning He's really rolling the Teva from one cause to another. And that's what Yishayahu HaNavi means when he says, Ko Amar Hashem, Melech Yisrael V'Goalo Hashem Tzvakos, Ani Rishon V'Ani Achron Umi Baladai Ein Elokim. There's nothing that controls nature. I am in control of nature. And it means that the whole purpose of Golos is to bring to the Geula. Says the Sfasemis, that's what Yudkei Vavkei is all about. The Shem Havaya is geared towards understanding Hayahova V'Yia, which is the same Gematria as Galgal, which means that Hashem is leading everything, all of the processes of history in Golos towards the Geula. And that's going to be clear to all of humanity when we get to the point of Mashiach, and there'll be a Gilui, a revelation of the Merkava Dishlema, the Merkava of Kedusha. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us in Sefer Dvarim, it says, V'eschem lokach Hashem v'yotzi eschem mikur ha-barzel, and Rashi, as I mentioned earlier, identifies the Kur ha-barzel as klisha mezakikim bo'es ha-gzov. It means the entire process of Golus is to lead us to Zahav, to pure gold, and remove all the impurities, so that the Golus is an integral part of Geula. It's part of the process that's going to lead to Geula. Now, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Miberditcheva, in his presentation, comparing the Galgal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Megalgal everything, he adds the following, and this you'll see in the middle column on page 2. Efes biltecha goaleinu limos HaMashiach, on Shabbos and Shacharis, we declare that there's nothing that really exists besides you, limos HaMashiach. In other words, at the time the Mashiach will come, then everything will become clear and revealed, that every incident throughout the bitter golus of Klal Yisrael was all a preparation for the Geula. Ki ata, now we're in the thick of the golus, eino niret. We cannot perceive beyond the veils of the golus and begin to understand and appreciate that it's all a preparation for Geula. But when the Geula will be revealed at the time of the Mashiach, everything retroactively will be clear. We'll begin to understand that the step-by-step process of the Golos was all a preparation to push us, to push the ship towards the banks. And even if we don't know this today and we can't perceive it today, that's Efes Biltecha Goleinu Limos HaMashiach. When there'll be a Geula, we'll begin to understand Efes Biltecha, that everything that happened is because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Vayar, Yaakov sees the Agolos, the Shesholach Yosef. This was a remez to Yaakov, that he shouldn't be afraid of the Golos, because it's all a Siva to the Geula. That the Ra that we perceive on the surface is really a Siva L'tova, it's really going to generate good and bring us closer to the Geula. And the Agolos of Miloshan Eagle. Eagle means a circle. And when you talk about this circle, Hasiba he nikres Dovar Eagle. When you talk about a cause, the cause is considered like a circle. And the Rachmim Pshutim is considered like an Ar Yashar. So here we have two different images. We have an image of something that's straight, that's Pashut, and we have the image of something that goes round and round. When we're talking about Rachmim Pshutim, when God simply bestows upon us goodness with compassion and mercy, that's called Pshutim, that's Ar Hayosha, that's clear and perceptible. But when we talk about Sibos, when we're talking about a whole system of events and one event leads to the other, and many of this seems to be perceived by us as evil, that's called a Devar Eagle. That's called a circle. The cause and effect is not so simple because it keeps going around and around. And Yosef wanted to strengthen Yaakov and console him that he shouldn't be afraid to go down to Mitzrayim, because although on a level of Rachmim Pshutim we don't see the Rachmim Pshutim, the Ara Yashar is concealed, but nevertheless it's a Galgal. It is an Igul, it's something that's circular, but God is behind this circle, and even the events that look like events that are bringing us far away from the Gula are really in truth bringing us towards the Gula. And what was the purpose of the Agolos? The Pasuk says, L'seiso so, meaning to uplift him. That's called to give him consolation and strength, L'romenes rucho, that Golos itself is part of the Gilgale Hagola, the wheels that are turning and bringing this wagon from place to place until it reaches its final destination. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Megalgel Es HaGalgal, and it's all for the purpose of purifying the Jewish people, to bring about the Geula, to make sure that the Jewish people are ready and prepared for the Geula. This is the divine plan. And Vayares HaGolos, Yaakov Avinu perceives the Agolos Esher Sholach Yosef, L'Asei Soso, and Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. All this would be fine and dandy if not for someone called Paro, who is the Merkava de Tuma. And that's where the whole situation becomes that much more complicated. Now, if you take a look for a moment on page 3, and I'm trying to shorten it a little bit because of time, you'll see that what's going on here in this whole process is the Sitra Achra. The Sitra Achra is trying to meddle and wedge its way in here and bring the spirit of Yaakov Avinu down. And that's called the Merkava de Tuma. These are the Makhishim. These are the ones who deny the Ashkochas Hashem. These are the ones who tell you that the Galgal is nothing more than a Galgal of Teva. That the cause and effect relationship has to do with the Mazolos. It has to do with some sort of predetermined cause and effect, natural order of the universe. And that's the greatest danger for confusion. Because you have this Merkava de Tuma that is trying to dissuade us and make it so much more difficult not to believe, as Rabbi Akiva said famously in Brachos, that called the Ovid Rachmana Lutavov, that all these things that happened to him seem to be negative. Right? You remember he lost his rooster and he lost his nair and so forth and so forth. It was all in order to protect him and save him from those who attacked the cities. And that's called the Ovid Rachmana Lutav. On the other side, we have the Merkava de Tuma, and what they're claiming is everything in this Galgal is part of Teva, it's part of nature. There's no room for hope or prayer to God who will change anything. It's not true that everything is bringing us towards Geula. No, that's not happening. And therefore, says the Kedushas HaLevi, Rav Levi Yitzchak, what time is it? We still have a few more minutes. Okay, three more minutes. I got from Yehiel. That's good. He says, and this you'll see on page 3 on the left column, Asher Sholach Paro, Hagolos Asher Sholach Paro Hei Mitzad HaTuma. Paro is going to give all his weight and all his energy and his kayach to use Galgalei HaTeva. And what we're going to see is that there's something called Ofan Markavosov. Ofan Markavosov is going to play a major role in Paro's Hashkafa and his agenda, his spiritual battle against the Jewish people. It says in Parashas B'Shalach that after the people of Israel leave Egypt, Paro gathers together his chayil, his army, and he runs after them. Vayasores rechbo, v'yesavo l'kach imo, v'yikach sheish meos rechev bachur, v'chol rechev Mitzrayim u'shlishim al kulo, v'yirdifu Mitzrayim achreihem, v'yasigu osam chonim al hayom, kol sus rechev paro u'parasha v'chelo al piachiros, l'fnei bal tzo'on. Paro and his armies gather together the Merkavos, all the Merkavos, all the chariots. These are the chariots which we call Merkava de Tuma. And here they try to strengthen L'chazek l'kach emunasam. They are now psyching themselves up for the belief that everything is Galgal HaTeva. And where do they camp? In front of Baal Tzfon. Baal Tzfon is the same as Merkava de Tuma. And here, Vayirdifu Mitzrayim Vayavo Achreim Kolsus Paro Rechem U'Parashav Al Toch Hayom. But Vayehi Bashmor Saboker Vayashkef Hashem Al Machne Mitzrayim Vamud Eish Vanan Vayoemis Machne Mitzrayim Vayosar Es Ofen Markevosov. Again, we're back to the concept of Merkava. We're back to the concept of the chariots. And Hashem removes the Ofan Markevosov, such that now the chariots cannot move forward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes those Ofan Markevosov, those part of the chariots that propel the chariot forward. These are the Galgalim of the Merkava of Tuma. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to prove that there's nothing to it, that their Merkava, the Tuma, is really an empty entity. And therefore, when the people of Israel sing the song of praise, calls Oz Yashin the Shiris Hayam, Markavos Paro Vechelo Yor Vayam, Hashem is thrown into the sea, the Markavos of Paro. Why such an emphasis on the chariots of Paro? Who cares? But the answer is that this Merkava is a secret password that indicates the entire philosophy of Paro that now goes down to the bottom of the Red Sea. The philosophy of Paro that is antithetical to the Jewish idea of being a manig, of being a gadol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, called Ma'adi Yomid Rachmona L'Tav Aviv, that we should believe with faith and dedication that God, everything He does is bringing us towards the Geula, and they, the Paro, and those who came under His influence try to deny that. And that's the Markovas of Paro, and they go down Chelo Yorav Hayom. And therefore, and with this we'll conclude on the bottom of page 3 going on to page 4, Nochi Velo Yeh, the first two Dibros of the 10 are Nochi Velo Yeh, and the Gemara says to Makkos that's a pair, an inseparable pair of the first two Dibros. They were both heard directly b'pi Agvura. The first Dibro is Anochi Hashem, as we said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Elokecha is the Galgal. And it means, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, as we saw the Rambam, that we have to be totally dedicated to the belief that everything is controlled by God, and we have enough total emunah in that. And then it says, Asher Otzoisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, meaning the goal of Mitzrayim, which was meant to try through the Merkava, the Tumah, to undermine our concept of Galgala Sagula HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and turns it all around, and from that Ashkof of Mitzrayim comes the Geula. And Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim are purified in the Kippur Barzel and their Zocha to Geula. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai, which means separate yourself as far as possible from the Kochos of the Sitra Achra, which are called Elohim Acherim. Because the Matara, the whole purpose, the whole agenda of this Sitra Achra is to undermine the sanctity of the Merkava, the concept of the Galgal, and instead replace it with Inyone Ateva, with nature. Everything is caused by nature with a cause and effect built in determinism, in order to deny the Hanhog of Hashem. And that's the Yavan, which is the Gematria of Galgal, and it's the Galgal of Tuma. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, tells Yaakov Avinu, Al Tira Merda Mitzrayma Ki L'Goy Gadol Asim Chasham. You think that going down to Mitzrayim is catastrophic in terms of the history of Klal Yisrael, but On the contrary, Yaakov says, Hashem says to Yaakov, I have a different plan, I have a different purpose. L'goy gadol asim chasham. And finally, V'yosef yoshis yodo aleinecha. Don't be afraid of the yirida of going down into Golas Mitzrayim. I will go with you, I will accompany you. And I will accompany you out of Mitzrayim at the time of the redemption. And please, get the message from Yosef. Hosif HaKadosh Baruch on the bottom right column on page 4. V'yosef yoshis yodo aleinecha klomar. Yosef sholach lecha zeh ato es hagolos. Just a few minutes ago, you received the agolos of Yosef. And he was sending you a hidden message that those agolos which are projected by the Galgalim represent the Galgalim of HaKadosh Baruch who's megalgal everything towards his purpose. This is the lesson that will uplift you and console you and will ultimately take you out of Mitzrayim. Yosef Yoshis Yodo Aynecha. Yosef will in a sense peel any sort of cataract covering over your eyes, and you'll be able to see clearly that the Geula is going to come as a result of the Golus. And the beautiful phrase here is that HaGeula Chetitzmach Mitoch HaGalut Al Yedei Sibuv HaGalgal, that the Geula is going to be born from the Golus, and the Golus is going to project us towards the Geula. Therefore, Vayar Es HaGolus Esher Sholach Yosef. The agolos is the ayin golos, the ayin that sees, that perceives beyond the golos, the ayin that represents the 70 umos of golos, and now there's the ayin of aleinecha, of being able to perceive beyond and below the surface, to understand that all this is part of an ultimate divine process of geula. It's all a hachana that's going to project us towards geula.
So, why shouldn't it first talk about the agolos of Paro and then later go on and say it's the agolos of Yosef?
I think what's happening here is the following, that, you know, the enemies of the Jewish people, those who represent and personify the Merkava de Tumah, they realize at certain points in time, and this is always the method of the Yetzer Hara, that when things are getting rough for the Yetzer Hara, because Klal Yisrael are really getting the message, that's when the Yetzer Hara, the Sitra Achra, you know, sharpens its knife, so to speak, and re-energizes itself to attack. You know, if we don't believe, then the Yetzer Hara has no point to telling us that which every man believes, that nature and science and cause and effect controls life and controls the universe. But as soon as we start indicating our belief that we are profoundly dedicated to the Amunah, the Galgal, means when Yosef's Galgal, Vatachi Ruach Yaakov Aviem, that's when Paro has to double his efforts, and he has to work very hard to indicate, no, that these are golos of the agolos of Merkava de Tumah, these are Merkavos of Shel Paro, these are the agolos of Shel Paro, and to try to undermine all our beliefs. And this is what Chazal mean when they say, "Kol agodol mechavero, yitzro gadol mimenu." On a lower level, you know what? The Yetzer Hara doesn't have to. The Yetzer Hara will, if you want to know what gives the Jewish people a power and a force of Kedusha, just look at where the Yetzer Hara is attacking us. The very fact that the Yetzer Hara is attacking us in X, Y, or Z is because in those areas we have been strengthened by Kedusha. And that's where the Yetzer Hara feels like the ground that's below him is falling, is shaking, and he may lose out. So that's when he redoubles his efforts. So when the agolos of Yosef are received by Yaakov and he gets the message and it uplifts him, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Yaakov a message of Anochi Aleh Imcha, in other words, I'm going down to this golos, but L'goy Gadol Asim Chasham, that's when Paro says, I got to run after the Jewish people, I have to reactivate and double my efforts for the Merkava de Tumah. But the beautiful thing about this whole piece is that the word agola now as a wagon takes on a new meaning. And not only that, but we begin to understand why at the point of Yamsuf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to remove the Ofanei HaMerkava of Paro. And if there's any one episode in Jewish history that brings us or reveals to us Zekeli Aveyu, the concept of the Agola, of the Galgalim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's got to be Kriyas Yamsu. Because at that moment in time, we see that Paro and all his physicality, but also his spiritual, his profound agenda goes down to the bottom of the ocean. It's completely, completely.
Can I ask you a question? Why the change? Global warming? What? Can you tell us anything?
Doesn't say Kriyas Yam Suf is the Korach Barzah. It says Mitzrayim is Korach Barzah. So what exactly happened in Mitzrayim that caused the purified Bnei Israel to recognize this Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch or whatever?
I would say on the simplest level, Monty, I would say the following. When a person is enslaved and they suffer and they go through the anguish of and shiftless and humiliation of suffering as a slave, it really sensitizes them. You know, one of the most fundamental concepts about Judaism and the nature of the Jewish people is what I call sensitivity. To identify and commensurate with the, or maybe I should say to empathize with those who are downtrodden. You know, today in my shiur this morning,
he keeps talking about this whole thing is about recognizing the Hanhaga of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that Paro and Yavon, and I guess probably the other Galios, have this thing with nature and determinism. You know,
right.
It's against our idea of a manhig, I guess.
Right.
And that this seems to be the key issue. I mean, the sensitivity is all very nice, you know, but that's not what he's.
Well, again, if you ask me from Rashi's perspective why the experience of exile and the suffering and slavery of Mitzrayim is called the Korach Barzel, I would say it's on the moral level. It means sensitivity.
But that's not Rashi. Isn't that the Pasuk? The Pasuk itself says Korach Barzel, right? Like, isn't that,
right.
That's not Rashi, right?
Well, let me read the Pasuk to you. Let me see. I don't have it in front of me, but maybe I'll find it. You have a minute, or you have to run?
Yeah, I got a minute.
Okay, it says the following. It says, it's a pasuk in Dvarim.
It's in Sheni.
Can you have a chumash in front of you? Maybe you'll find it faster than I.
It's not my phone. It's not exactly great, but when I say, I'll find it. Let's say.
No, it could be that Yuri can give you a chumash. I don't know if that.
Whisper in Eschana.
I'm just looking for the pasuk. I had it in front of me a minute ago, of course. Just let's see if I can find it. Yeah. It's Dvarim Dalid, Pasuk Chav. V'eschem lokach Hashem, v'yotzi eschem mikur abarza. And Rashi says, what's kur? The word kur is a very ambiguous term. Rashi identifies it as a kli. It's a utensil that's meant to refine precious metals, because precious metals in their natural state are full of impurities, and the kur, through a process of burning, will remove those impurities. And Mitzrayim is called a kur abarzel because it removes impurities. And that has to do with this concept of the moral fiber of the Jewish nation. But as far as
it's clearly talking about Mitzrayim, he says, Lakach Hashem, v'yotzi eschem, right? Whatever the modifier is afterwards, it's obviously referring to Mitzrayim, right?
100%.
That's the shot, right? That's not, you don't have to.
But we don't know what the word kur means. Right, no, we just don't know the taich of the word kur. And Rashi's telling you that kur is a klisha mezakikim boas hazov.
Okay.
So that Mitzrayim now plays the role of a utensil, and specifically what kind of utensil, for what function, it's to purify and remove the impurities of and create a pure precious metal, in this case gold.
Right. I mean, ukulis translates as mikura, so it's like the same word, right, basically. I mean, it seems to be like an understood.
Yeah, that doesn't help us much. I think Rashi is a little bit more helpful here. But
no, I agree. agree, but I don't think he's making up that definition. Like it's...
No, I'm not saying he's making it up. I'm just telling you that when you want to define the whole purpose of the exile of Mitzrayim, this phrase of Kura Barzel is really, you know, really reveals a tremendous amount. It's a cathartic experience that we undergo by being subject to the suffering and the exile, the humiliation and the slavery. But what Rav Levi Yitzchak Miyaditchev is adding here in this concept of Limos HaMashiach is that it's very hard for us to understand when we have a close-up view of all these impurities, so to speak, of all the sorrows of the Golus, and to take a step back and say, well, I understand and I perceive that this is all part of a divine plan to prepare us and purify us for the Geula. He says, Efes Biltecha Goalenu Mos HaMashiach. In order to get to that level of Efes Biltecha, to really perceive and understand that Efes Biltecha, that everything is controlled by God, there's nothing else besides God, is then we need Yemos HaMashiach. With Yemos HaMashiach, says Rav Levi Yitzchak Miyaditchev, Yizgala, there'll be an understanding, I call it retroactively, Shekol HaMa'oros Shaholu B'Golus Shalom. All the suffering that we underwent, that we experienced in Mitzrayim, in all the Golios, was all a hachana meant to propel us towards the Geula. I gave the marshal of a ship that's having trouble, and the waves propel it towards the shore, towards safety. And this is the role that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays, and all of this will only become clear to understand why we had to undergo so much suffering only at the time of Mashiach. Then it'll be Efes Biltecha. But today, Eino Yodea Zos, we don't know this. The only one who knows this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He himself perceives in his great divine plan, Shakolu Achana LeGeula, everything is a preparation for the Geula. And that's the purpose of the Agolos that Yosef sends to his father to take him up to Mitzrayim L'Seso, so to uplift him, because Yaakov is down in the dumps. He thinks that now is the fulfillment of what's going to be hundreds of years of Golos, of Shibud, of Inui. He's overwhelmed by fear. And the purpose of the Agolos is to express and convey to Yaakov Avinu that it's all part of a divine plan, that this is necessary for our benefit, and this is going to prepare us for the Geula. And that's an amazing concept. And what we tried to explain was that that's really what the Rambam codifies in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the idea of Hashem who's the Manig of the Agola. The first one to discover this historically was Avraham Avinu. And this is such a fundamental belief that it plays the central role in understanding the difference between the Merkava of Kiddusha and the Agola that Yosef sends to his father, and on the other side, the Merkava of Tumah, which is trying to corrupt and undermine our belief that it's more than just nature, it's not deterministic, but rather it's part of a divine plan. Okay, then that's what I can say. If you have a chance to go through this again, this can become an annual reading to go through this, because it's so fundamental in terms of Jewish belief and the morality and the ethics of Judaism that I think it's worthy of review on an annual basis. Every time we get to Parshas Vayigash, this is what we should be studying and reviewing. All right, I'll take this opportunity to thank you very much.
Okay.